proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. I am in the midst of one of the most exciting series I've had the opportunity to preach. Praise the Lord. God gave it to me. He said, call it the law of confession. The law of confession. If you know anything about a law is something that governs other things. You know, I have a driver's license, but I have to abide by the laws of the road. You know what I mean? They have some law. There's stop signs, so stop. You know what I do? Stop. You know? So notice, those laws govern me. Well, the law of confession, meaning confession don't mean not talking about what you confess, something you did wrong or something negative, but the confession of God's word will govern our lives. And there's a law of confession. Now, this is a powerful teaching. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Let's get serious here now. Let's get into the Word of God. It's called the law of confession.
There is a law of confession. Every time you can predict what's going to happen, what is going on. What's going on is people are saying things that indicate that they have no revelation of the connection between what they say and what they get. Let's look at the word confession now. The acknowledgement of a crime or fault or something to one's disadvantage. Traditionally, people associate confession with the negative. Confession of something that I've done wrong. Father, forgive me. And I looked it up to find about the confessions, and basically there are four types of confessions. One was a confession found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, that John the Baptist had the Jews to confess their sins before they got water baptized. This is before Jesus started his ministry. Another type of confession is the confession found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, this is a confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that the sinner confessed. Some people think that sinners are supposed to confess all their sins. What? No, they don't confess all their sins. The Bible says in John 16, verses 7 through 11, that the sinner is convicted about one sin, and that's the sin of not believing on Jesus. And once they believe on Jesus and confess him, everything they ever did, boom, is gone. Why? Because they're gone. They turn into a new person. A new person gets that born again. Well, if you got a baby just born again, you can't talk to that baby about what happened 10 years ago, because the baby didn't do nothing 10 years ago. Here's the third confession, the confession of when we're out of fellowship with God. Something happens in our lives as a believer. We miss God. We step out of line with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive your sins, come on, and cleanse you from all what? Unrighteousness. Now, that's not a carte blanche to sin. It's saying, if you do sin. And not only does God forgive you, but what else does he do with it? He forgets it, so you can't even bring it back up to him. And what people do sometimes is they waste time bringing it back up to God. Well, he's not going to remember it, because he just told you in his word he's not going to remember it, and he keeps his word. But you know what you do when you bring it back up? You weaken your own spirit. You feed condemnation in there. And when you feed condemnation in there, faith doesn't work, and condemnation is a disease of the spirit. Forget it. Don't be talking about it every week. All right? Now, the fourth type of confession is confessing your faith in the Word of God in Christ. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, the Greek word for that is homologio, that we, homo meaning the same, logos or logos, you know the word logos meaning word, but it's spoken. It's something that God has spoken that you agree with. So confession for the believer is to say the same thing that God says. It's to acknowledge that. I'm flying airplanes, and the controller says to me, says, a 302 Sierra Tango, turn right, heading 320, and maintain 5,000 feet. And what happens? I turn right, heading, I acknowledge, Roger, 302 Sierra Tango, turning right, heading 320, maintaining 5,000. Well, I got to acknowledge that. And guess what? If I don't acknowledge it, you know what he'll do? 302 Sierra Tango, did you copy? 302 Sierra Tango, did you copy? He won't give up. He won't give up until I acknowledge it. Got it? And that's the same thing with God. In all our ways, come on, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Okay? Now, I want you to know that the confession that we've learned was confession of sin. I'm going to confession. I'm going so forth. And it's been mostly negative. And it's been preached negatively. But it's more about the positive confession in the Bible than there is about negative confession. And what we're going to focus in on is positive confession. Amen. Now, last time we talked about positive thinking. Positive thinking, and we've read some of the positive thinking books. Well, that's good. Positive thinking is good. I mean, it's better than negative thinking. But positive thinking alone will not change your circumstances. Okay? Now, we're going to go through that and show you this. I mean, positive thinking will give you a good attitude while your business is failing. While the ship is sinking, it'll make you go down in style with a good attitude. Praise the Lord. Glug, 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 glug. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, those books are good, but that alone will not make it. All right? Now, let's do this. Now, I've got to make it plain. I don't have much time to mess around with you. Okay. Now, so... now, this law of confession, that what happens with you and I is that we unconsciously go down to the level of our confession. Here is part of the law. No one ever rises above the level of their confession. If you are confessing something negative, you go to the level of it. If you're confessing something positive, I'm talking about in God now, you go to the level of it. Wrong confession glorifies Satan. Right confession glorifies God. Now, we've not made the connection between what we say and what we get in this life or what we have. And a lot of times what we thought is that we're telling it like it is. But once you get born again, you can say it before you see it. See, how can you lie saying what God said? God cannot lie. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3, let the weak say I am what? Strong. See, and what happened is we've been trained negatively. We've been trained, unless you see that you're strong, you're not supposed to say that you're strong. But in the kingdom of God, the way that you see that you're strong, you got to first say that you're strong. Now, the Bible says, be careful what you hear. Take heed what you hear. That's what it says. Take heed what you hear. For the measure that you meet will be measured back to you. See, you, a good man out of the good deposit of his heart. What is the heart? The spirit. Okay? The spirit. It's not your blood pump. We're talking about your heart. We're talking about your spirit. Now, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching them on spiritual things. If you go to a high school or college, they teach you and train your intellect. Have you gone to any college, and this is what the professor says. You are three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. And the real you is spirit. You have a soul or a mind, and you live in a body. Have you ever heard a professor say that?
No.
Now, they don't teach that. They're just training your mind. They're just training your mind. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Watch this. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be thee transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what is it saying? It's saying that for you to please God, you're going to have to renew your mind to the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
So in the college, are they going to teach you about the Spirit?
No.
Well, notice what Jesus said. It's a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Now, why did he say that? He said, for my words, they are spirit and they are life. See, the tendency is that we think our words are just sound. We think our words are just noise. They're not. Their spirit. See, a good man out of the good deposit of his where? Heart. Heart is not your blood pump, it's your spirit. Your spirit is a bag that holds words. You got what I'm saying? And whatever words are in there, when you come under attack, that's what comes out. Now, what have we done? We've dissociated what we say with what we have. He said, no. Wait a minute. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So what's in your life brought forth is a product of the words that you've either heard or you've spoken. And that's why you can't go anywhere and listen to anything. Some of them Christian channels I don't even listen to. That is, I'm telling you, I don't have anything against the people, but I ain't got time for it. I know the truth. I don't know all of it. I'm willing to learn, but I can tell. My spirit will tell me, And I had to turn to a Western. And I'm just saying, listen, here's this story. This is a true story. This man had a mule. And the mule, for some reason, stopped eating. And he wondered what happened to the mule. He's feeding him hay, and he stopped eating. And then he called the veterinarian. And he came in here, and he examined the mule, and he ended up putting his arm down the mule's throat and pulling out a stick that had gotten lodged in the mule's throat, and the mule had stopped eating. Well, you know, you've heard the expression when you go to places and they talk a lot of unbelief. Somebody said, well, just chew up the meat and spit out the bone. Well, what happened if one of them get caught in your throat? Some of that stuff can kill you. I'm just saying, life and death, come on, are in the power of the tongue. Man, you can't afford to hear that mess. You can't afford to hear that Job was being tested by God. The Bible says that God doesn't test any man with evil. Sickness is evil. Sickness is not from God. Neither the killing of Job's kids was from God. We saw that Job said, the thing that I feared most, what? Came upon me. He said, Lord, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Show me where I have made a mistake. and you go places and you hear that God was testing Job, the first thing you do is you open up the door. Religion always gives consent to something that the devil's bound to do. And it opens up the door to the devil, and next thing you know, something will come in on you, and your mind will say, the devil will shoot the thought in, well, God is testing you. Well, you tested Job. Well, look at the verse that says, lead me not into testing. That's what that temptation means. It said, don't lead me in there, Lord. Take me out of there. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I'm saying you got to take heed what you hear. And the product of most of my teaching is trying to teach out unbelief. It's all over the church. We got to teach this mess out. We got to give understanding so you'll be willing to let that lie go and get the truth of God's word, and you'll get something different in your life. You and I should be walking like kings in this earth. And a saint of God should be broke. We should have no poverty in our lives. We should be calling things that be not as though they were. We should be commanding money to come. No. We're still talking about, hey, girl, where you going? Oh, I'm just dying to go. Can I? See? Dying to go. You ain't dying. And you don't want to die. Suppose you said that, I'm just dying, boom, hit the ground. Then you'd wake up. Thank God he won't turn up the power until you get your mouth right. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. I'm telling you, the church is coming to a place where we're going to all walk and talk the same thing. We're going to all be on one accord. We can speak something one day, and the next day, it's going to be done. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Boy, I feel like preaching now. I feel like going on. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They'll kill you. Words are the most powerful things in the earth. Speak them. Get your tongue right and see. And what we said is there are two levels. There's a spiritual level and natural level. The natural level of the law is a spiritual law, and spiritual law has dominion over natural law. That's why Jesus could tell Peter, come, and Peter got out of that boat on the word come and walked on the water. Gravity couldn't even hold him because of the power of the word that was spoken by Jesus. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Now, I'm just saying that what we need to do is our words are spirit. That's why when somebody says something to you wrong like that, it keeps going on in your mind. That's why it's hard to get rid of it. Why? Because it's living. It's living. It ain't just noise. It's spirit. That's why you can't sit up in all that mess. Because it's more than noise, it's more than sound, it's spirit. Now, I ain't talking about nobody's ministry, but it's time for the church to be the church. We need to stop playing games and preaching all this unbelief. Come on now, we got to preach the buck-naked word of God and put that thing out there, and whoever don't like it, let them go sit in the car. Folks, it's time for us to rise up and walk in this earth as kings.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you go to college, you ain't heard no college professor tell you, well, you're a spirit.
Come on now.
They don't even deal with that. And that's the truth. You ain't just soul. You ain't a big mind. You have a mind to operate with. But you are spirit. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Y'all still with me? Y'all can tell I ain't taking down today. Say amen to that. I'm building your confidence in your words. I'm not trying to put you in bondage. I'm trying to let you know that even when we get into this lesson, you're going to see that jesting is something you got to watch. Jesting. I'm talking about when it's cold outside and you come inside just jesting. Say, ooh, ain't it warm out there? See? Because you're confusing your spirit. Oh, I'm messing with you now. Y'all done got quiet on me now. See, you got to stop this. I'm dying to go. My feet are killing me. You know what I mean? You got to say what you mean what you say. Now, I'm not trying to put you in bondage. I'm trying to give value to your words, because that's a step of getting, the first step of getting what God has for you, which is your promises, and God has these things for you. That's the first step to getting it. You're going to have to believe what you say going to come to pass. And you were never meant or designed to say something you didn't want to come to happen. You weren't meant to say that. You were meant to say exactly what you wanted to come to pass. You don't hear God say, "Ooh, Lord, my feet are killing me." God can't say that. You got what I'm saying? Amen. And you got to say the same thing about people, what you want to come to pass. I know they're acting like a fool, but the thing of you got to say, now I'm talking to myself too, you got to say this, you got to say, hey, see that guy cutting in front of them right there? You know he going to come to his right mind in a minute and just get right on in that street. See, you got, well, see how you're doing right there? Watch, he going to hit somebody right over that little one. See, you think you're prophesying. You go by there and see it and hear somebody. See, I told you to prophesy. And you helped it. See, the devil wants your mouth. He wants your mouth. He wants it for your kids. He wants it for your marriage. He wants it for your job. He wants it for your money. He wants it for your health. He wants it for everything you got. He wants your mouth, and God wants your mouth. Now give God your mouth, because he's going to deposit good seeds and they're going to bring forth good things.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, again, that's called the law of confession. Now, we want you to get that, the law of confession. It's not talking about confessing something wrong or something negative. For the believer is saying what God said. Confession. It comes from that Greek word homologia, which has to do with saying the same thing. So a lot of people say, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Don't tell it like it is. Tell the truth. Praise the Lord. And many times the truth of God's word does not match what you'd say normally. So what you've got to do is confess his word rather than what you see in your circumstances. See, the devil wants your tongue. He knows that life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, in your mouth is where the power is. So what we got to do is get your mouth right. Praise the Lord. We've got some help for you. It's called a series of teachings called the Law of Confession. The address and phone number are on your screen. I want you to order it right away. Now, this is a series of teachings that you can't go wrong with. What are they doing? They're getting you to understand the link between what you say and what's in your life. Now, that is in the mouth, in the tongue. The power of the tongue is a thing that controls the destiny in our lives. So we want to get this tongue right, get these words right, so we can end up in the right place. This is a powerful teaching. It's called the Law of Confession. You cannot go wrong. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. And then, till then, keep walking by faith.